This podcast is supported by listeners like you. We're grateful for your tax-deductible donation at newthoughtphilly.org or the link in the episode description.
A practical prayer is a prayer that works.
These discussions between Reverend Bill Marchione and Carol Lawrence dive into the details of how it works and how to work it.
Reverend Bill is a New Thought minister and the author of Practical Prayer for Real Results.
Your new life begins with a new thought.
Carol Lawrence is on a spiritual quest, finding the New Thought teaching after decades on the pulpit in three different traditional denominations.
I've got some questions.
Together, they're exploring the philosophy and activities that come together from many of the world's religions to create the practical spirituality that is New Thought.
Welcome to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol, here with Reverend Bill Marchione.
And welcome to the podcast. And I think your gears are mashing there a little bit, because we're going to talk about not just doubt, but overcoming doubt. Because there's really no room in a practical prayer for doubt. It is a creative exercise. But we have a little piece in it where we acknowledge that there can be doubt. And there's a whole lot packed into that. So as we talk about that, you go ahead and start with what we're going to talk about, and then I will embellish.
Okay. So with practical prayer, it's very straightforward. However, in the old days, or across the street on the other side.
The other side.
Yeah. It's God will say yes, no, or maybe. And I've always found that troublesome, because you enter into the prayer space with doubt.
Right.
Because the thing that you want or you desire may not be concrete in your mind, really, but even if you're looking for direction or assurance, you go in with doubt to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I just could never figure out, like, yes, no, maybe, that's confusing. I mean, I don't know about all this. So with practical prayer, you get to the realization, and it seems as though by the time you've gone through step one and two, and the preparation, obviously, you should be able to articulate the realization or feel the realization without doubt, but not so. And
not always so, yes.
Yeah, not always. And there's like a couple of steps that you put in there, that or subsets that mm-hmm. you put in.
The two spares about doubt and reaffirmation. Yep.
And you put twos. I remember you had two.
Yep.
So it reminded me of science. When I looked at it, I said, okay, we'll do this. But
oh my God, it's a subscript. What is this? I was told there would be no math.
Yeah. Right. But it's a good thing. It is a good thing. Let me use the word work. Because just as we were leaving the pre-show, we talked about it may be work, or it shouldn't be work. It could be, but be not afraid of the work, because it's your work, it's a good work. So what is causing the doubt in my mind? And it could be that I don't have a realistic understanding of what's possible. And I know you're going to clean that up for me, but
okay,
realism does have a place in this, does it not?
Absolutely, absolutely, and it depends on what you call real. But let's talk about the world that we're in. So there's this. I think of it as a Venn diagram. You know, the overlapping circles, and one circle is traditional religion, where God can do anything, perform miracles, raise the dead, create a woman out of a man's rib. I mean, all that stuff. And God can just do whatever God wants to do and be completely, can completely ad lib. On the other end of the spectrum, and when you ask that God for something, the answer is going to be yes or no or maybe, because it might show up in your life or it might not show up in your life. And the understanding there is that if it doesn't show up in your life, it's because God didn't want you to have it, or God didn't want you to have it yet. So it puts everything into the judgment, evaluation, and control of God. which doesn't seem like a bad idea. I mean, if there's an infinite power, that's kind of the one that's going to be in control. The other circle is self-help. And everybody who talks about creating affirmations to claim our good and change our lives. And there are people have been doing this forever. You know, you've got Tony Robbins and Wayne Dyer and Gabby Bernstein and it's been going on forever. So, and you learn to do these positive, affirmative statements about the good that you're inviting. I am prosperous. I have lots of love in my life and all of these happy, clappy things that we can say. And it works. It works to a remarkable degree. And then there's an overlap because there is the possibility that something that somebody's putting into an affirmation doesn't show up in their life. Mm-hmm. Now, what we're doing at the heart of a practical prayer is an affirmation. We are saying, I am prosperous. I am deeply loved. I am healthy and comfortable and vibrant and carefree. We are claiming whatever it is that we want. And we're not doing it from the small self, ego-based, I'm in control of my life, I'm making decisions and working it. We do it from the awareness that there is an infinite creative power that started out with itself and then big banged this entire universe into being. And everything is that one. Everything is that divine presence showing up in its own way, which includes each of us. And we're each using that same power to create our lives. And that same power has created our lives up until now. Everything that we are, that's all the particles, all the molecules, all the atoms, all of it, the subatomic particles, the energy, everything is that divine presence expressed as us. And everything that we know, everything that we think, everything that we believe is also that one taking unique form as us. So the model changes a little bit in New Thought because we understand that the infinite that has created everything is able to create something new. But there's no decision-making in that process. The laws of nature didn't change ever since the beginning of time. They have been unfolding and interacting with themselves and bringing more and more stuff into being. But it's the same laws. So if that creative process works anywhere, it works everywhere and it's working for us. That means that that law, that creative power, God, is always saying yes. Whatever it is that we're claiming, God is saying yes. So why do our affirmations sometimes not work? Damn it. And it's because the claim that we are making goes beyond what we believe is possible. We have doubt. It is done unto you as you fill in the blank. What goes in there?
Believe.
Believe. Okay, how do you know what you believe?
It's based, I think, on your past experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this
and is whatever. There is no room for doubt in our beliefs. If we have a theory, there can be some doubt. If we have a hypothesis, there can be some doubt. If we have a precedent, there can be some doubt as to whether it's going to work again or not.
Hmm.
But when you have a belief, when you have a belief, that's a rock solid core understanding, this is how it works. There is no maybe in a belief.
Okay. Okay.
Are you okay to accept that?
I can.
Okay. So that's what separates a desire from a belief. Affirmations, we're talking about our desires. Practical prayers, we're talking about our beliefs. And since we're using that same active element, which is I am prosperous, or I have my perfect, wonderful, loving relationship, or I fit back into my prom dress in time for the reunion, whatever that statement happens to be, that's a claim that we're making on the infinite creative power that creates everything. And if for whatever reason we are claiming it, but we don't believe it, what's going to work is our belief rather than our claim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we can sit there spinning our wheels, making affirmations that we don't believe in, and we can just continue thinking that it's God not wanting us to have it. It's our belief that we're not going to have it. It is our doubt that it's possible or that it's happening that's in control because it's done unto us as we believe.
Mm-hmm.
So, how do you overcome doubt?
You have to deal with what you believe.
Yep.
Actually, and yep. and dig it out.
Yep. Yeah. So, an affirmation from self-help and the realization step, the third step in a practical prayer, are both creative elements. They are both very potent creative forces that activate the creative power in the universe to create something new, as long as we believe them. Mm. So the creative element in a prayer is always there. There is also a diagnostic element in the prayer. Because if we get ourselves into a position where we are aware of who we are and what we are and that we are expressions of the infinite, when we say that affirmation and we're claiming something we don't believe, a little voice says, I don't think so. You know, I go to my high school reunion and have a wonderful time and I fit perfectly into my prom dress from when I was 18. And the voice says, hey, Tubby, that's not going to happen. If we're just doing affirmations, we don't. First of all, we might not get that. And second of all, if we do, we just ignore it because there's no mechanism for, oh, what happens if I don't believe it? So if we get that, what we do is use that response, that little voice inside of our head, that voice of doubt, that voice of, we call it yeah, buts. Yeah, but you're not going to do this. Yeah, but you can't do that. We use that diagnostically because that voice is telling us what we actually believe. I am claiming that I'm going to the prom and I'm looking great, and the little voice is saying, not going to happen. Okay, well, if I just leave it off there, then what's going to happen is it's not going to happen because I believe it's not going to happen. And that's the law responding to my belief rather than the claim that I want to be making. So that's the diagnostic thing that comes up. That's how we know what our doubts are. Okay, I hear you say, once we have some doubt, how do we overcome it? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, then okay. Let's take a break and then we'll talk some more about that.
Okay.
It's Reverend Bill letting you know that the Practical Prayer for Real Results class is now available on demand. That's right. You can take it at your own pace anytime you want. All of the information is at bethelight.com. That's b-the-light.com. You know where to find that stuff. The class is 5 lessons, broken down into 18 modules, and you can take them at whatever pace is comfortable for you. As you work through the process, it starts out with the theory, goes into the practice, there are experiential activities and exercises, and at the end of the program, you will wind up with an understanding of how practical prayer works and a practical prayer for yourself that will work to create transformation in your life. And as you know, it works for everything. Take a look at the class online at bethelight.com. There's a sample lesson so you can see how the class is going to work for you and then dive in. The great news is it's on sale now. You can register and save $20 off of the regular price. I'm looking forward to seeing you in class.
Welcome back to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol, here with Reverend Dr. Bill Marchioni.
We've been talking about doubt that our prayers are going to be answered and how we can overcome them. And so we've been through the process that leads up to that little voice in the back of our head saying, yeah, but that's not going to happen, to tell us that we have doubt, that we have disbelief. And that is the diagnostic element of a practical prayer, because it's done unto you as you believe. That's the part that tells us what we believe in whatever area we're doing the prayer about. Mm-hmm. The way that we overcome that is to refute it head on. And I'm going to go over the steps that lead up to that realization or affirmation step in a practical prayer, because it's really important. When we're just doing a self-help affirmation, we're standing there in a clear field saying, I am prosperous, or I am healthy and vibrant, or I am the best looking alumni at my high school reunion wearing the same dress I wore to the prom. And that's the claim that we're making and putting into the universe. And as we discussed before the break, if we don't believe that that's going to happen, we're going to get a yeah, but we're going to get some pushback from our own consciousness or our subconscious that whatever it is that we're claiming is not going to happen. The difference between a practical prayer and a plain old affirmation is that we don't start with the claim. We start by winding back a little bit, and we turn our awareness to the infinite, that divine creative power that created everything. We can call it God. We can call it spirit or nature. It's the same process that began in the Big Bang and has been evolving and unfolding ever since. Whatever our understanding of the creative process in the universe is, we identify that that process is there. That's the first step, identifying that infinite power that creates everything. It's got all the energy, it's got all the substance, it's got all the potential, it's got all the intelligence, all of it is that one, and it shares it with its creation. Has to, because that's all there is. If there's consciousness, if there's creativity, if there's intelligence anywhere, it's the divine. It's that one sharing itself as that. Second step, we identify that since we're part of that creation, that divine goodness is this truth of what we are as well. So that infinite creative power doesn't exist out there someplace that we might be able to have access to. It abides within. It's not something that we have. It's something that we are. We are using that creative power to create our lives and have been since the very beginning. And we're continuing to do so. So aware that we are in partnership with the infinite and we are wielding this infinite creative power, those are the first two steps. We then step into that third step, which is our affirmation or our realization, and say, I am the hit of my prom, and I step joyously into my prom dress, and I look great. And then the voice says, yeah, but you don't believe it. And what that tells me is I'm trying to make a claim on that infinite creative power that goes beyond what I believe. So there's two possibilities. One is I'm going to change my mind and say, you know what? That was an overreach. I don't really need to wear that dress, but I'm going to get one that looks just like it in a slightly more comfortable or flattering size and still have a great time at the prom. So we can let go of whatever it is that's not serving us. Or if that's what we really want to have happen, we can make ourselves aware that there might be some work. There might be some steps involved in fitting into that dress and making that desire happen. We have to be willing to embody it. We have to be willing to do our part and step into get ourselves to the place where we can believe that whatever it is possible. So we do a quick check on our consciousness. And if I'm getting a yeah, but it's not going to happen, that might be all of the voices in my head telling me that I can't lose weight, telling me that I don't look good, telling me that other people in my high school graduating class were better, stronger, faster, prettier, whatever, than me. And those all built my belief system up. And I need to work through that and let go of it so that I can have this new idea become operative. So what I'll do is go through that process and say, the thought that I have to repeat what's been happening my entire life since high school at the reunion is simply untrue. This is a brand new experience and I have the ability to step into it in a brand new way. There is no reason in the world that I am not able to wear that dress and rock it and have a great time. This good is certainly possible. And having reminded ourselves that this good is possible, say, I go to my prom looking great, wearing I go to the reunion wearing my prom dress and I look great. And then either it's like, oh, that's great. And then we move on with a prayer or we get a yeah, but again, you're still tilting at that windmill. It's never going to happen. And what we do is we go through that process of listening to the doubt. And then the next step, once we get that ping, is to refute whatever that doubtful voice is and address the fact that it doesn't necessarily have any power, and then repeat our affirmation. And either the doubt goes away or we realize this is too much of a stretch for me. I'm going to pray for something different, because it's not that God's going to say no. It's I'm already saying no. Mm-hmm. The affirmation that I'm doing, the intention that I'm setting, the invitation that I'm making, I already believe that it's not going to happen. I got a little voice inside my head that says it's not going to happen. Well, okay, I don't need to blame God for that. That's just what's going on. Is that helpful?
I like the part where you said, this is too much of a stretch for me, mm-hmm. because it's having a dialogue with yourself, you know, yeah. sort of an honest dialogue with yourself. And I was really smiling as you were going through it, because I had a conversation with myself this morning. It's so wild. It was something that that somebody was doing, and I thought, I did that. I've been doing that, and I was like a freeze frame. Get out. And then I thought, well, that's no big deal. And then all the doubts came, just flooding in. And I stopped it right there. I said, hold up, hold it right there. Just stop. And I listed all the reasons why I couldn't. And this other person had all these reasons or whatever that they could. And I thought, well, now, wait a minute. You do have one thing going for you. You've got the power of God that has always been with you. What is your problem? And I just started laughing because I thought of the practical prayer. I know I was right in it. I know I was in it. And so I think that, and this has to do with the first class that I took with you on practical prayer. And it was about how Jesus didn't obviously do all the steps because he was living it. And I never, ever forgot that, ever. And I walk in that because I wanted to be able to live it in such a way that I could catch myself, you know, in moments like I did this morning and thought, you know what? What do you have? What do you really believe? Well, I believe that, you know, in the creative power of God, and I don't need all of these other things visible right now. If I do need them, they'll come. And bingo, I just laughed. I said, you know, haven't you been in this a little bit too long to be dealing with these, you know, but I think maybe it doesn't matter how long, you know, it was a little bit of a vulnerability that I was caught in, and all of the, everything I knew kind of went. And then I said, whoa, no, wait, you can come back here. You do have this. And in terms of belief, you know, I ran through probably not as articulate as you just mentioned it, but I went through, what do you believe? And my beliefs were based on how I had seen divine power work before. No reason it can't happen. So whatever it is, it will show up at the right time. So I don't know if I would say work like I normally say. I think it's time. Don't rush. Just be calm and let the process happen based on the steps and all the stuff that you know, and check your notes sometime. I don't have to use my notes as much anymore, but it's still there, you know, and it's, the answer is yes. And, if it's not by 2 o'clock this afternoon, it doesn't mean it's a no. Other things may happen, may need to be in place, not with God, but with me, you know, and that basically is just belief that I can. Yeah. And I don't have too many I can'ts in my life. I can. Well, why not? You know, why can't you? I can this time. I don't have a good reason. I'm not coming with a good reason. So, yeah.
The reason is because that's the way it is. And the recognition is that it doesn't need to stay that way. It can change. And when we are open to and aware of and participating in the change, then what is doesn't matter nearly as much as it would otherwise. So in scripture, Jesus doesn't do a lot of doubting. Yes, other folks around who are like in disbelief and doubt and wondering, but he didn't do very much of that because he had that certainty. I would guess after he did one of his prayers, he did not get a yeah, but, because he was so in tune, so in that zone, so knowing that the infinite power, that divine presence, the Father within was within, that there was no room for doubt. You know, yay, Jesus, you know, I'm not there. So I have this technique that I can use to tell me what it is that I don't believe so that I can reshape that and either invite in something that's closer to what I do believe or be willing to do the work and the transformation, the surrender of letting go of that idea wherever it came from, that I don't deserve it, that I can't have it. You know, that's there's some work. There's some work.
I wish we had more time to talk about it because it's such an important thing with Jesus. I love the way I what I read with Ernest Holmes years ago. He said, Jesus is not the great exception, but the great example. Yep. And I thought, whoa, now if this is a great example, then I'm getting it. You know, I am getting this example and I'm copying it and I'm going to do it until it works. And it sometimes takes a bit, you know, but it gets easier.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you ever, do you ever get on autopilot where it just, you don't have to worry about it. You just kind of go with it.
Where it's just, and you know, once again, it works until it stops working. And it's important to pay attention, you know, because, yeah, I've got my belief system and I'm understanding where I'm comfortable operating in my belief system and it goes along and it's creating stuff pretty wonderfully. There's great coincidences showing up in my life. And every once in a while, something comes along that sucks. And then that's a reminder to me, oh, I can use the process. I can do practical prayer. I can go through the steps and either use it to understand what my belief system has in it, or to make a change in the experience I'm having, or sometimes both, and then work through that. And then it usually fits into the tendency of my life experience. Once I've gone through something, it doesn't show up exactly the same way again. Sometimes the same thing shows up in a different form. Mm-hmm. There are lots of costumes and disguises that my issues have.
I like that. I like that.
Oh, look, it's my childhood issues showing up wearing Groucho glasses with a big nose.
But sometimes it's like, okay, listen, I don't think I want to go. When you said stretch, this is too much of a stretch. I say, listen, you know, and I don't think I want to do this. Not that it's not possible, but to be honest, I may not want to do all I need to do to get in that dress. You know,
That's okay.
Yeah.
The place of harmony isn't whether we get into the dress or not. The place of harmony is if we are feeling okay about what it is that we are doing.
Yeah.
Because if we give up and say, well, I'm not going to wear that dress because I'm not good enough and I don't deserve it and I've never had this and I've always been a problem, blah, 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 then we're giving a lot of power to the negative rather than realizing, yeah, that was a different time.
Yeah.
And wearing that dress was a different experience for me. And, you know, 3 kids later, it's probably not going to happen. So let me just let go of that idea and turn my attention to what I really want. So if I were wearing that dress and going to the prom and rocking it, how would I be feeling? What would I be doing? What would my experience of life be? And let's claim that and let go of the attachment to it's got to be that dress, which, P.S., almost nobody's going to remember anyway.
You know what's funny about this? I got this dress. And it's not a prom dress either. And I'm thinking, I am definitely going to wear this dress again. And I was going through all the steps with you until you got to the end. And I said, I'm wearing this dress. I am wearing this dress because it knocked it out the park. Wasn't even prom, though, you know, it was more recent.
Okay.
So, something's coming up. And I said, I'm wearing that dress.
All right. And when the bar gets set in your working around life on Earth, the bar gets set to the level where, okay, I'm going to have to do whatever it takes to clear the bar so that I can wear the dress, then the same question comes up. You know, don't wait until the week beforehand.
No, I got to start like yesterday.
There you go.
On this one.
There you go. Let's take another break and then do a prayer on overcoming doubt.
Learn to put practical prayer to work in your life. The steps are simple to learn and let you begin to get real results to create the life of your dreams immediately. Reverend Bill Marchione's widely acclaimed book, Practical Prayer for Real Results, gives you a clear summary of the new thought principles behind practical prayer and the series of easy-to-understand steps found in the most effective prayers from religions and spiritual practices all over the world and throughout history. Practical prayer is not a replacement for your religion or practice. It's a technique to make the work you do in consciousness even more effective. The book includes 40 prayers on various topics that you can adapt as needed and use as your own. Practical Prayer for Real Results is available in paperback, Kindle, and audiobook on Amazon or at b-the-light.com. That's b-the-light.com.
Welcome back to the Practical Prayer Podcast. I'm Carol, here with Reverend Dr. Bill Marchioni.
We've been having a wonderful conversation about doubt and overcoming doubt. And I very rarely turn to scripture, but John 14:12, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus was saying, all this I do, you can do, and more. Same process repeating itself now. So, as Carol mentioned, that Ernest Holmes mentioned, that Jesus was not our great exception, that he could do it, nobody else can. Jesus is our great example, showing us what we can do, what is possible for us. And it's not like Jesus is the entire story. Jesus is one example of how this can work for us. So let's harness that ability for ourselves. Let's do a prayer that acknowledges all this I do, you can do, and more. And use that to address whatever doubt or hesitation that we have. There are times when we think, oh, only God could make this happen. It would be a miracle if this were to happen. And in fact, everything that has ever been described as a miracle is the infinite creative power creating something new. Because it's only got one law. There is one creative power that creates everything. Miracles are the things that we look at that we would never have guessed possible before they happen, that we would not have predicted are possible. But everything that has happened, every miracle that has happened, has been the unfolding of that infinite creative process, that creative law working in the same way, creating something new and different. And that applies to each of us. Everyone within the sound of my voice is that divine power and presence taking form. How do I know this? Well, I know that, taking it back to the beginning. In the beginning, there was darkness and void and God. There was just God. Or the Big Bang, there was a singularity. And God said, let there be light, and the light showed up. And since there was nothing other than darkness and void and God, where'd the light come from? It came from God. Same thing in the story of the Big Bang. The singularity exploded, began expanding, and immediately was just created huge amounts of energy, radiant energy. And everything that exists in the manifest universe is that radiant energy reacting, interacting, unfolding, and turning into atoms and molecules and planets and galaxies and so forth. And in scripture, there's the story of the begats. As things came into being and God continued creating more and more stuff. The reason that's important is because there is only that one divine essence. There is only that one energy and substance, that one intelligence, that one love that has been unfolding and revealing and expressing and creating since the beginning of time. And since I am part of that creation, and each one who is listening to me now is part of that creation, that's what we are. We are that divine presence taking individual and particular form. That's the truth of what we are. There is no question about this. There is no possibility that God is everywhere in the universe except the 3 feet around me. It is not possible that it's all God except me. It's either all God or it's not. And the creation stories that we have are pretty compelling. So as long as we're willing to believe the creation stories, it's a simple step to agree that that creation is what we are as well. And that creative process is continuing to unfold. There's nothing new that's been created since the Big Bang. It's been unfolding and evolving, but all of the laws, all of the principles, everything is continuing to express. And it's expressing as us. And consciousness is at hand as us. And consciousness had to have come from the infinite. Everything came from the infinite. So the creative power is the infinite expressed as us. Consciousness is the infinite expressed as us. So as we set the intention to create something new, that newness comes about. It can be something that's completely reasonable, that we're completely comfortable with, and it can be something that we have some doubt about. So I am now setting the intention that as we go through this process, as each one opens to that new possibility, that stretch possibility of something that never happened before, that there's every reason to believe might not happen, to meet that doubt with the absolute sure knowing that whatever good we're seeking is possible. There might be something for us to do. There might be something for us to surrender. There might be something new for us to engage with. But that infinite creative power is always saying yes. It is always saying yes. Once we get our small selves out of the way, once we acknowledge that we have doubt, that it came from wherever it came from, and we get past the doubt, that goodness is unfolding. And it's unfolding immediately. There is no hesitation. There is no delay. There is no waiting to earn the right or needing to buy a ticket. The good is already happening. It's happening now for each of us in our own way. And I'm so, so grateful for it. I'm grateful for the good that's unfolding. I'm grateful for the wonderful way that it expresses. And I'm grateful to be able to speak this word of opening, of invitation, of intention, and release it into that same creative law that has created everything. And know it is now creating this newness in each of our lives, a transformation beyond doubt, newness unfolding. And so a deep feeling of thanks, I speak this word, I let it go, and I know that it's so. And so it is.
The Practical Prayer Podcast with Reverend Bill Marchione and Carol Lawrence is a production of BeTheLight.com.
BeTheLight.com.
Where you can find more information about practical prayer for real results.
Our theme is by Music of Wisdom. You can learn about the spiritual community of New Thought Philadelphia with daily guided meditations,
weekly celebrations of spirit,
and Reverend Bill's classes in practical spirituality
at newthoughtphilly.org.
This podcast is supported by listeners like you. We're grateful for your tax-deductible donation at newthoughtphilly.org or the link in the episode description.